And we're going to be going to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, as we continue with our series, Portraits of Grace. And basically, it's been a biographical study of different individuals in Scripture that have displayed God's great grace in their lives. And so we certainly have learned some important lessons. Today is no different. As we look at the widow with two mites, this is the first lesson where we don't have the person's name. In other words, previous lessons we've looked at Peter and what was the one you taught last week, Cole? Esther. So we saw individuals by name, of course, people that we know well. But this particular lady is not identified other than she was a widow. And she was at the temple, and she was giving. She gave her two mites. If you've been saved any length of time, surely you're familiar with that story from Scripture. This widow will teach us some very valuable lessons, and so I hope you'll pay attention on purpose, that you'll listen intently, and we'll see what God has for us this morning. So let's go ahead and read these. We're going to just read four verses for now. We're going to see some other Scripture later. Luke chapter 21, we'll read verses 1 through 4. The Bible says, "And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, Of a truth I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offering of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had." And important truths contained within those short four verses, and we'll look at those things today. Let's pray and we'll get started. Thank you, Father, again for our opportunity to be here in the house of God this morning. We pray that you'll bless this Sunday school hour. This is an hour that has been sanctified and set apart to study Scripture, to look and to learn. We ask the Holy Spirit of God to be the supreme teacher today, so we need you. We ask you to help us. We pray that you would open our eyes, that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Father, help us now as we look at this story of this widow lady and what she's done and how it can help us in our Christian lives. Well, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I think you would agree with me that there's something very rewarding when we have an opportunity to give to someone that we care about, whether it's your spouse or one of your children or a good friend or someone like that, someone that you really care about. And when you have an opportunity to give them a gift or, you know, give to them, there's a feeling inside that's like it's just like a built-in reward. It says, you know, it's very rewarding for me to be able to do that to them and to express my love and appreciation to this individual by giving this gift to them. And certainly you, as well as I, have probably experienced the truth that Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. We find that verse in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, we won't turn there, I'll read it for you though. "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." And so we're thankful for that. And as I said, when we do give, we experience that blessing or that built-in reward that comes with giving. Well, considering that how rewarding that is to give to someone, we have to think about how God has given us opportunity to give back to him. And that'll lead us to our first statement there on your sheet. Well, first, let's get past this part. There we go. The God of the universe, by the way, who owns everything, all God's people said, amen, he owns it all. That's really one of the key important lessons we need to learn. But the God of the universe is highly interested in what we are willing to give to him. He's very interested in that. And as we consider that, we have to understand that you and I have opportunity to please the Lord through our giving. Now, it begs the question, well, does he need our gifts? Does he need our money? The answer to that is a resounding no. He can get along perfectly fine. But what the truth is that we need to understand about this is that giving is one way that God has established that he gauges the heart of the believer. He gauges the heart of the believer. Now, I do want you to turn to these other scriptures with me, so hold your place in Luke. Let's look at Matthew 6. This is probably one of the most familiar passages concerning the connection between the heart and giving. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. I want us to see verse 21, but let's start in verse 19. Let's get a little bit of the context here. Matthew 6, 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but, you know, the word but in Scripture is a great word. It's a transition. It points out that we're going to see a contrast here now. So our treasures on earth, we're not going to take it with us. Moth and rust affects it. Thieves could steal it, he's telling us. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And here's the contrast. Where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. In verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Boy, is that an important truth. Have you ever seen folks that invest in the stock market on a Monday morning? They've got the New York Times or whatever, Wall Street Journal, and they are in that paper, and they are in the stock market report, the results, and they are looking for their investment, and they're highly interested in what's going on. Did I gain or did I lose? What's happening? Why is that? Because their heart is where their treasure is. That is a truth. That's a spiritual law that cannot be broken. And God wants us to understand that. He tells us that in Scripture. And this widow and her life and her giving illustrates this. And that's what we're seeing today. So very important truth. Turn with me now to 2 Corinthians 9, one of the passages I want you to see. And then we'll move on. 2 Corinthians 9. Verse 7. Every man, of course, this chapter is talking about giving, and sometimes we read these verses concerning faith promise, but every man according as he, look at this phrase, purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So there's another great passage about the connection between heart and between giving. And so that leads us to our next statement here. The Bible makes it clear that there is a direct connection between our heart and our giving. And we just saw two very important scriptures concerning that. Hope you wrote those references down. Our heart about giving is so important to our Lord that 15% of Christ's words in the Bible are concerning money. One of the first indicators of a spiritual struggle in someone's life is when he begins to struggle with the question, listen, we begin to struggle with this question, who really owns everything that I have? When you start thinking like that, you know that you're having a struggle. That's an indication, because as long as we understand God owns it all, we stay up pretty much on good footing. God owns it all. And there's this connection between heart and between giving. There is a connection between our spiritual lives and how we handle money. We could say it this way: God has almost set up money on earth as a thermometer for spiritual temperature. And how we handle our money is directly connected to our spiritual lives. While we may try to divorce our faith and finances, God sees them as inseparable. And that's very important. Well, perhaps nowhere else in Scripture do we see the connection between faith and finances as we do in this story that we're looking at today concerning this widow, this poor widow, and what she gave to the Lord. Undoubtedly, she had a heart that was sold out, that was dedicated, that was consecrated to the Lord Jesus. And we see that through her giving. Now, this story that we looked at here in Luke chapter 21 is taking place just in the final hours, final moments or days of the Lord's ministry here on earth. And he decides to go to the down to the temple, to the treasury, and he's observing those that are giving. And that's the narrative we saw there as he viewed what was taking place. The money that was given to the treasury there at the temple had two purposes. The first was to support the services of the temple and in the temple. The second reason for the offerings there at the treasury was to help support the service of the needy. And I find that interesting. We'll probably say this later, but of all people, this poor widow woman came to the temple. She had every right to ask for help, and yet she was giving. And I find that very interesting. She was the very ones that part of the giving at the temple was, that was the purpose of it, was to care for people like her, and yet we find her giving. Well, let's get into our outline here. Number one, the first thing is we see the contrast of the givers. The contrast of the givers. So Jesus came to the temple, and the first thing he sees and observes is these rich men casting in their offering. Verse number one. And he, of course, he is Jesus. He looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. At the temple, Jesus observed those giving offerings. What we find is Jesus focusing on the motives of the givers rather than the actual amount. And that's really a real basic truth when it comes to giving. The motive of the givers. He saw the hearts of those who gave that day. And there was a startling contrast between the ones that he saw. He saw the rich men, he saw the widow lady. And in observing those two different offerings, he saw such a great contrast. Well, first of all, Jesus saw the giving of the rich. This was the first group that he saw. And verse 1 tells us that he saw them, the rich man, casting in their gifts into the treasury. Jesus deliberately watched these rich men give, but he was paying attention much more than the great amounts that they were giving. He was looking at their motives. He was looking at their motives. And of course, when we give, God is looking at our hearts. He's considering our motives as well. When Jesus looked at the hearts of the rich men, what did he see? He saw pride. They gave for the wrong reasons. Now, the Lord was not demeaning the fact that they gave, obviously, but he was not pleased with the spirit in which they gave. They were giving for the wrong reasons. And even though these men, these rich men mentioned here in verse 1, even though they gave, there was no real sacrifice involved. And I think that brings the, you know, puts the rubber on the road, brings the jelly to the bottom shelf, because Jesus is observing our motives. He's looking into the heart, and these guys were giving out of pride. They were giving for the attention of men, as we'll see in a moment here, and they gave for all the wrong reasons. It was all for show. There was no sacrifice. Jesus also saw their pompousness in the way they gave. Our text says that they were casting their gifts into the treasury. The word casting has a connotation, the meaning, to throw with full force. I found that interesting. So when they gave their gifts, they kind of like threw it into the uh, into the treasury with full force. I learned about that. It says the receptacles that they threw their money into had ram's horns that worked as a funnel to drop the money into a smaller opening. So as the men forcefully threw their money in, there would have been a loud clanking sound, a loud clanking noise that drew attention to themselves. And so they wanted the people around to see how much money they were giving. And so they threw it with force into the ram's horn, which made clang, 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 and then went down into a small container. And so that would have drawn attention. And Jesus standing there looking at this, watching, saying, These guys don't have a heart for God. They just want to make sure people see what they're doing and get the attention of men, as Pharisees often did. Letter B. Then Jesus saw the giving of the poor. He saw the giving of the poor. After watching these rich men, then he observed someone of a completely different standing. And he once again was looking at the heart. Let's look again at our text here in verse 3, or verse 2 rather. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. And so he's looking now at the heart of this poor widow lady, and he sees such a drastic difference. When we talk about these coins that's mentioned, mites, interesting word, M-I-T-E-S, mites, they were thin brass coins that represented about 1/5 of a man's daily wage. And this lady clearly lived in poverty, but she was rich in faith. And I think that's what captured the Lord's attention as she gave her offering. The Lord saw her heart. He saw her condition. He saw that she could have been asking for help rather than giving, but she gave. She was rich in faith. And she didn't feel entitled to receive, but she felt privileged to give. And this was a sign of spiritual maturity. When Jesus saw the widow's giving, he saw a completely different attitude. He saw a completely different heart. He saw a completely different motive. I guess there's different words we could have filled in there. Her life wasn't about what she could get, but what she could give. This is a mark of spiritual maturity. Wow. You know, too many times believers today, well, the world for sure, but even sometimes believers say, what's in it for me? Rather than how can I invest in others? How can I invest in the Lord's work? How can I do something that counts for eternity? Jesus told us not to lay up our treasure here on earth, but to lay up treasures in heaven. And part of the way we do that is through our sacrificial giving. And the Lord sees our hearts and how we give, and he has spiritual blessings connected with that. And it's a mature individual who understands these lessons that we're learning today. Well, this poor widow lady had the same heart for giving as the members of a church did, and this church was located in Macedonia. We read about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, so let's turn there together. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, again, a passage we sometimes use when we talk about faith promise. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. I'll read that. You can follow along. Chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. So now he's going to tell what they did here, verse 2. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, so they had deep poverty, he states it, abounded unto the riches of their liberality that was in concerning their giving. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift, this gift of offering that they collected, and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And so this church at Macedonia had a great heart for giving, and this widow lady had that same type of heart. Well, both the Macedonians and the widow lady, they did not focus on what they didn't have. Instead, they focused on the God whom they believed to be their provider. Amen. Too often we say, I can't, when we should be saying, well, what can I do? It's the amount is not what important. You know, we see in the story clearly that these rich men gave obviously a large offering. And as we'll see in a moment, it was really their leftovers. It was from their abundance. And yet this lady had she had two pennies to rub together, you might say. And she gave it all, basically. And boy, what a difference. And what, you know, we see the Lord. Well, we'll come to that in a second. That's our next section here, so I'm not going to get ahead of myself. That day in the treasury, Jesus saw two different types of givers. There were rich men who gave for all the wrong reasons. And there was a widow who had every reason to ask for money, but instead gave the very best she could. Well, Jesus had strong words for both groups, and that's our next point here. The comments of the Savior. The comments of the Savior. And letter A under that is regarding the widow's offering. Because this woman was giving out of love for God, Jesus said that her offering was worth more than the great wealth the rich man brought. That's pretty amazing. And that's stated in verse 3 for us. It says here, Jesus is speaking. He said, of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. And even though they were giving large amounts, obviously, because of her great love for the Lord and her sacrifice and her heart, Jesus said hers is worth more than theirs. And again, it teaches us some great truths. Jesus recognized that she wanted to communicate her love to God, and she was determined to have a part in this offering. And so obviously she had already determined in her heart what she was going to do, and she just acted in faith and followed through. We praise God when we sing. We praise God when we give to Him. And perhaps this woman had great joy as she brought her offering, her sacrifice of praise, to the Lord. She didn't have much, but she would trust the Lord to provide for all of her needs. She believed that God would take care of her. And so Jesus was pleased with her heart, but He had something different to say concerning the rich man. That leads us to letter B. So, the comments of the Savior regarding the rich man's offering. Let's look at verse 4 again. For all these rich men, have of their abundance cast unto the offering of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. The rich men gave of their abundance, which meant they gave of their excess. This is a real poke in the eye here. Jesus was not impressed with their leftovers. Wow. Yeah, it's easy to give when you have lots of money, like these guys must have had. They threw in a considerable amount, but it was no loss to them. It was like pocket change. It was just, you know, we didn't sacrifice. We're throwing in a large amount, but it's not a sacrifice for us. And Jesus wasn't impressed with their leftovers. We have to ask ourselves, what are we willing to give to the Lord? Are we willing to sacrifice so that we can give to Him? Or are we willing only to throw in some loose change? As Jesus watched this event here at the temple, he saw something typical. He saw Pharisees doing good works for the praise of men, but then his focus was riveted by this woman who had a spirit of sacrifice for the Lord Jesus Christ, and that captured his attention. Listen, that always captures his attention. Again, he's not interested in those that are trying to do whatever they're doing, whether it's giving or serving or teaching a class or running a bus route or whatever we do for the Lord. If we're doing it for the wrong reason, he's not interested. He may be glad we're doing it, but what is the motive? And so he considers this widow woman, and he's moved, he's touched, he's fascinated by her spirit and her faith and her heart of love for the Lord. And we ought to be willing to give. You know, just think of it this way too. We ought to be willing to give to the one who gave all for us. And when we look at it that way, it kind of puts things in perspective. Jesus didn't hold back. When he went to the cross, he gave it all. And it's not much to ask to give him a sacrificial offering out of a heart of love and appreciation for what he has done for me, what he's done for us. Amen? And so these are important lessons. And a mark of spiritual maturity when we get them. Well, the same Jesus who saw and noticed the widow's sacrifice that day, he also notices our acts of worship when we do. Well, let's get to the last point here. Whoops. Yeah, the same God witnessed the widow's sacrifice observes our worship today. And giving is an act of worship. Okay, number three, finally. I just want to make sure that clock's correct up there. Yeah, it is. We're doing good. Number three, the commendation of the sacrifice. Well, we saw what the Lord said about each group. He said about this poor widow lady that she had cast in more, much more than the men had, even though they put in large amounts. And he commented on both, of course, but he commended the widow lady. Unlike the rich man, this widow woman was not giving of her abundance. We said that already, but more to the point here, she gave of her livelihood. Perhaps that's all she had. She had to make a sacrifice in order to give to the Lord. So that teaches us this: her giving was sacrificial. Her giving was sacrificial. Jesus said there in verse 4, all these have of their abundance cast unto the offering of God, but she of her penury. And we don't use that word much these days, but what Jesus was saying was that she was giving out of her poverty. She was indeed, as we call her, the poor widow lady, the poor widow woman. She gave out of her poverty. The mites that she cast in weren't just some spare change that she had. She gave of her livelihood, and this was truly a sacrifice for her to give. There's a story about a chaplain, an army chaplain, who visited a soldier in a hospital. And the chaplain commented to the soldier, because he had lost his arm, so he was laying in bed with minus an arm. The chaplain looked at this young soldier and he says, "Soldier, you have lost your arm for a great cause." And the soldier replied, "Pardon, sir, but I didn't lose my arm. I gave it." Wow. I didn't lose my arm, I gave it. There's a huge difference in those two attitudes, right? One could say, I lost my arm for my country. Another could say, I gave my arm for my country. Huge, huge difference in those two approaches there. Well, that teaches us this: if you view giving as a loss, then you clearly do not understand what laying up treasure in heaven is all about. Pardon me. Early in the lesson, we read the passage from Matthew 6, 21, 19 through 21. Jesus said to not to lay up treasures on earth because it can rust and rot. Thieves could steal it. You can't take it with you anyway. He told us to lay up treasures for ourselves in heaven. And if we view giving as, I hate to do this. I could use this money for something else, or, you know, well, this is going to be a loss for me. Now I got to go redo my budget, or whatever. We don't understand this thing about treasures in heaven. So we need to wrap our mind around that and understand what the Lord's trying to teach us here, and that how it is a great privilege to give out of appreciation for His gift. And when we grasp that, we really grow in our faith, and it pleases the Lord. So her giving was sacrificial. I think there's another point here for us. Yeah. The carnal man views giving as a personal loss. But the spiritual man recognizes that giving brings eternal benefit to the giver. And an old preacher once said, you can't outgive God. So, amen. He's good to us. So a carnal man views it as loss. The spiritual person will view, understand that there's eternal benefits. Sometimes we need to look at our priorities and determine what will make a difference for eternity. That's a good statement, and that really puts it bluntly of how we should view. Sometimes we get our priorities all mixed up. And we might have to take a better look at our priorities. To give to the Lord, we may need to make some sacrifices. But if we do, we will reap blessings that will be far greater than anything this world can give. C.T. Studd said once, and you may recognize this phrase, it had become a popular statement throughout the ages, only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And that's so true when it comes to these different spiritual disciplines. All right, letter B. Not only was her giving sacrificial, it was personal. From this woman, this widow woman, we learn the heart of true worship. How does a pure-hearted person give? Well, this widow was not concerned how much the others gave. No doubt she saw the rich men clang, 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 not only saw it but heard it, clang, clang through their offering in the treasury. She wasn't concerned about that. She wasn't concerned how much the others gave. You will lose the blessing if you focus on what others are doing. Her only concern was her own heart for God. Don't feel intimidated or pressured by what others are doing. Look at your own heart and say, what can I do for the Lord, truly? And it may be sacrificial, but don't let that scare you away. Sometimes great sacrifice is the greatest blessing. Because God, however God does it, I can't explain what God does, but he has a built-in reward that's eternal that comes with our sacrificial giving. And praise the Lord for that. This lady recognized that her giving was very personal. It was between her and her God. And she wanted to show her God that she loved him. And to her, that meant some sacrifice, not just throwing in loose change, excess, abundance, leftovers. She said, I want to show the Lord I love him. And she did. She walked into the temple. I think this is our next statement here, actually. Yeah, when she walked into the temple, she was acting in faith based upon what she had already purposed to do. Remember that verse in Corinthians we saw a moment ago about how they purposed in their heart? She purposed in her heart that she was going to participate in this offering at the temple. Because she had purposed, now she's just acting in faith and following through and trusting God to take care of her needs. When we give, and she understood this too, it was because it was personal, when we give, we're giving part of ourselves to God. And then the last thing here, letter C, her giving was sacrificial, it was personal, it was also pleasing to Christ. Pleasing to Christ. I forgot to underline the thing there, but I think you can figure it out. Pleasing to Christ. Jesus knew that this widow gave the very best she could, and because of that, he was pleased. By providing this example, he showed us a way that we can please him, that we too can please him. A way we can show a small token of our appreciation of the fact that he gave his life for us. The Philippians gave an offering that pleased God. And just like them, we... Come on now. Whoop. I jumped two slides. We please the Lord when we give our offerings to him from a pure heart. Well, I was concerned we wouldn't get through the lesson today, but we're doing really well. So we have time to look up this passage, Philippians 4. So I just mentioned the Philippians gave an offering that was pleasing, just like this widow lady. So let's take a look at that. Philippians 4. And beginning in verse 15. Philippians 4, verse 15. Now you Philippians know that also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. He said, you are the only ones. Let's read on. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. So they didn't just send one gift. He said they did it time and time again. Verse 17, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Therein, that's that statement he just made, fruit that I desire fruit that would abound to your account. Therein lies the spiritual truth that there's blessings, eternal blessings, connected to giving. And Paul reinforces that. We already talked about it earlier in the lesson, but Paul reinforces it here with how he said, I didn't want the gift. I wasn't asking for money. I didn't ask you or beg you to help me out. But because you did, now I desire fruit that will be accredited, if you please, to your spiritual, your eternal account. Clearly, spiritual blessings, eternal blessings connected with giving. And then verse 18, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, so the gifts that they sent, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice. So it was a sacrificial giving for them. A sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And so we see there again the sacrifice. We see the well-pleasing to the Lord by this gift. Paul said that their offering was like a sweet savor, a sweet smell to the Lord. And what a privilege it is to give to the Lord. Well, let's get our conclusion here and wrap it up. From this lesson concerning the widow, we learned that there's many lessons we've learned. We can't restate them all, but just in general, we learned that we have an opportunity to show, here's the key word, appreciation to our Lord through sacrificial giving. And then that becomes an act of worship. You know, the Old Testament, every time you see the folks coming to the temple or coming to meet God, as it were, they brought a gift. They brought an offering. They brought something. And so great lessons. All right, thank you for your attention. Let's take a 15-minute break.